Welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays by the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on supply trends, category updates, brand awareness, and what's hot in the market. Join us each week from San Francisco Bay, California, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Dan, the Produce Man.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays on this lovely Halloween weekend. I'm Dan, the Produce Man, and it's Fresh from the Muddy Fields this week, that's for sure. Hey, folks, we're going to hear a little bit about what has happened in the fields, and we're going to find out what the oldest tree fruit is known to humankind, and we're also going to find out where the jack-o'-lantern originated from. All that right here on Fresh from the Field Fridays, brought to you by Equifruit Fair Trade Bananas, the only banana you should buy, and Buck Naked Onions. All right, so let's get right into it. So what happens this time of the year is lots of growers move their growing operations from Salinas and the San Joaquin Valley down to Yuma, Arizona, and the southern part of the Coachella Valley from like south of Palm Springs all the way to El Centro, because the weather's warmer there than it is, and you can't don't grow it here that time of the year. And this happens every year. Usually there's a little stop off for about a month in a place called Huron, California, for some of the lettuce growers. And then after that, they move on down to Nogales and Coachella. And then in the spring, well, they move that operation right back up to the Salinas Valley and the San Joaquin Valley, and we're back in action. So it's back and forth, back and forth. So we have a steady supply of wonderful vegetables to feed America with. But what's happened this week, because of the massive rain that we had on Sunday, lots and lots of rain, and I don't even know what the total count was. It was different in many different spots, but it was a lot more than we've had in the past couple of years, that's for sure. But what happens is fields are underwater, so they can't get out there to pick, and what is out there is underwater. So forget it with strawberries. It's done until the plants are ready to give us new strawberries to pick in a couple of weeks. Then you've got damage from the wind and the lettuces, and you've got a lot of mold and mildew that happens because they're sitting in the water and in the muddy soil. Then you have some of the stuff that's harvested will have a lot of soil in it, and they usually wash that off at the retail level. But you get all these things. You get brown rot and pin rot in broccoli. It's like these pitted rot spots on the top of the crowns. Waterlogged and vegetables, and we're going to get a shorter shelf life, so they're going to move through some produce the best they can. I'm sure they're all out there assessing the fields. As of this recording, that's what's happening. So there's just be a lower supply and lousy quality until we can get back on track. But at the same time, this transition is happening. So that's the weird part, is this storm came at the same time as we're wrapping up the fields, and the fields down in Coachella Valley and in Huron and in Yuma are not fully producing yet. So we may have a shortage, we may not. I've seen a lot of reports over the years of this kind of damage, and we're going to be short this and short that, and then I see pallets and pallets and pallets of it on the produce market. But again, it will affect the quality. So if you're getting some, say, like romaine lettuce or iceberg lettuce with some pink ribbing, the rib that goes through the leaf of the lettuce, that's what causes this. And other damage. It just doesn't hold up. So buy it, use it, and then buy it again and use it again and just keep it that way. Don't buy ahead, in other words. Or as one of my suppliers used to tell me when I was a young man with my first produce market and I would buy produce from him, he'd show me the tag that he had written up and say, look at this price I gave you. And usually it would be a darn good price, right? I just gave you these tomatoes for $4. Don't fall in love with them. In other words, I gave them to you cheap, move them cheap, keep it going. So that's what you have to do with your vegetables right now. Buy them, consume them, and just do it more often. I think about some of the fruit growers, too. Who the heck wants to pick fruit from soaking wet trees? That's got to be a problem as well. Okay, that's your Fresh from the Field report in a boat. Speaking of fruit in the trees, let's talk about that for a minute. What do you think the oldest tree fruit known to humankind is? Well, some folks would answer the fig, referring to the story of creation in the Old Testament, in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve discovered that they were naked, buck naked, that is, just like the onions, and they covered themselves with fig leaves. Other folks would answer the apple, referring to the same story. The olive is another common answer. Its history of cultivation goes all the way back to about 6,000 BC. Pomegranates, dates, coconuts, they're all good guesses, but the sound of the buzzer rings short and loud. From Greek mythology to the Hanging Gardens of Babylon to the Roman Empire, the nux, N-U-X, which is Latin for fruit of the shell, or the royal nut of Jove, better known today as the walnut. Now, all right, you're saying, what the heck? Why is that a fruit? It's a nut. Well, it grows on a tree and it has husk around it that has a small white fruit. So technically it's a fruit and the walnut is the seed. So that's why it's the oldest tree fruit known to humankind. Okay. And since it's the oldest tree fruit in recorded history, let's see, it was found in the Shanidar Cave in northern Iraq, where they unearthed walnut shells that date as far back as 50,000 BC during the Neolithic period. Then about 8,000 BC, beginning in Southeast Asia, and over a period of 6,000 years, it eventually made its way to Europe. And of course, in France, petrified roasted walnut shells were found in several excavations. I mean, where else but France would they be found cooked? Now, during medieval times, Persian walnuts made their way to ports around the world by English merchant marines, and in time, they became commonly known as English walnuts. They ended up in California through the Spanish Franciscan monks in the late 1700s, and today, California provides 99% of commercial production for walnuts. Now, the holiday season is notorious for its use of walnuts and plenty of goodies that we all prepare and give as gifts and receive as gifts and gobble down. Walnuts appear in fudge, banana bread. They're coated with tons of butter and sugar and roasted, ground, chopped, added to cookies, muffins, and pies. You know the list goes on. But did you know that a handful of plain walnuts every day helps lower LDL cholesterol by 9 to 10%? And that eating walnuts as a regular part of our diets helps diminish the extent of heart damage after a heart attack. Did you know that? Well, now you do. That's because walnuts contain polyunsaturated omega-3 fatty acids that lower cholesterol, and they protect against heart disease and stroke as well. Now, omega-3 keeps the blood vessels less sticky. It helps protect against certain cancers and relieves some of the symptoms of rheumatoid arthritis. If you're not a fish eater, then the best source of omega-3 is a quarter cup to half a cup of walnuts every day. And walnuts are a great crunchy addition in a green salad or a fruit salad. I gave a recipe last week for fall fruit salad that contained walnuts in it as well. But you know, ground walnuts are great in chicken and turkey salad as well. It just really bumps it up a few notches. Another really cool fall little meal is you cube up some butternut squash and toss in a tablespoon of olive oil with some dried cranberries and walnuts. And in fact, if you toast those walnuts first, and you can just do that on the stovetop with a pan, oh man, just really turns out great. And then there's a lot of other nutrients in there, like vitamin B6, vitamin E, copper, magnesium, potassium, and phosphorus. So you're getting loaded up pretty darn good just from munching on some walnuts. So while you're doing your holiday goodie cooking this holiday season coming up, and you dabble in to take a few bites of walnuts here and there and here and there, don't feel guilty because you're doing yourself a favor. Now just remember to keep a good supply of walnuts on hand year-round so that you get those nutrients every day. And you know, there's nothing like driving up Highway 88 through Waterloo on the way to Lake Comanche with the beautiful walnut groves on each side of the street. Absolutely beautiful trees. And they harvest the walnuts with these shakers that shake the trees and the nuts fall off and, you know, into the big bags or tarps, whatever those things are. And then they take them over to the husking house. Now, husking houses, now it could be called something else, But what this is, these are businesses that are located in the area where the walnut growers are, and different growers will come, and in this facility, they will husk all their walnuts for them. So they're just going back with the walnuts like we see them in the store. Now, in the stores, in the major grocery stores, you see what's called bleached walnuts. So they're husked, and then they're bleached so that they're nice and clean when we go in the store and see them all nice and pretty. But if you buy them at farmers markets and little produce stands like Frankette varieties and Hartley varieties, you'll see them, the shells will be kind of dark and dirty. Not dirt dirty, but just they're not real super clean because they haven't been bleached. So they're just the natural walnuts. So a lot of those are available too. And so if you see that difference in the farmers market and small produce stands versus what you see in the grocery stores, it's no big deal. It is if you don't want bleached nuts. I know that the squirrels that come to my door, they don't care whether they're bleached or natural. I usually buy the naturals from Ferrari Farms in Linden, California, because they just have a flavor that is incomparable. And here's something that I thought was amusing. A guy named Prabhakar Reddy P. Now, I don't know if I pronounced that right, but he crushed 212 walnuts by hand in a single minute. In a single minute to break the world record in 2017. The year before that, a guy named Muhammad Rashid from Pakistan, he cracked 181 walnuts against his head in the same amount of time. So, boy, oh boy. Maybe he was trying to cram that brain-shaped nut into his head to add the omega-3s to his brain. I don't know. You know, another item which is really good in walnuts is the shelled, ready to use, ready to roll. But just make sure when you buy those in the store, after you open the package, be sure to store them in the refrigerator in a Ziploc, something that's airtight, so they don't absorb odors from something else. You don't want to keep them in the cupboard because they'll get rancid. Okay, on that nutty note, let's have a word from our wonderful sponsors, and we'll come back with a story on where the jack-o'-lantern originated from.
Welcome to Equifruit, an importer and marketer of fresh bananas. Equifruit is committed to 100% fair trade, which means no crummy wages, super safe working conditions, and nothing but love for the ladies. Driving innovation through impossible-to-ignore merchandising, Equifruit is the only banana you should buy.
Everyone, we have an APB out on a buck naked onion. This onion is produced by Owyhee Produce, so we have to be on the lookout. Whether you're a retailer, food service distributor, or a wholesaler, this onion is whole, it's hearted, and it's a buck naked, everyone. To all you civilians out there, please, let's catch this buck naked onion.
Welcome back to Fresh from the Field Fridays. Folks, I'm Dan, the produce man. So we're going to go to Ireland, that's right. And we're going to give ears to, well, this. So it's an Irish myth about a man named Stingy Jack. Now, according to the story, Stingy Jack invited the devil to have a drink with him. Now, why would he do that? And where would he even meet the devil? Well, anyway, he invited him to have a drink with him. But, true to his name, Stingy Jack didn't want to pay for his drink. So he convinced the devil to turn himself into a coin that Jack could use to buy their drinks. Now, once the devil did that, Jack decided to keep the money and put it in his pocket next to a silver cross, which prevented the devil from changing back into his original form. Now, Jack eventually freed the devil, but under the condition that he would not bother Jack for a whole year. And should Jack die, he would not claim his soul. Well, the next year, Jack tricked the devil again, this time into climbing a tree to pick a piece of fruit. While he was up in the tree, Jack carved the sign of the cross into the tree's bark so that the devil could not come down until he promised Jack not to bother him for 10 more years. Now, shortly after that, Jack died. As the legend goes, God wouldn't allow such an unsavory figure into heaven. The devil, upset by the trick that Jack had played on him and keeping his word not to claim his soul, would not allow Jack into hell. So, he sent Jack off into the dark night with only a burning coal to light his way. Jack put the coal into a carved-out turnip, and he has been roaming the earth with it ever since. The Irish began to refer to this ghostly figure as Jack of the Lantern, and then simply Jack-o'-Lantern, right? good Irish name. Now, in Ireland and Scotland, people began to make their own version of Jack's lanterns by carving scary faces into turnips and potatoes and placing them into windows or near doors to frighten away stingy Jack and other wandering evil spirits. And in England, large beets are used. But when folks came to this country, they brought the jack-o'-lantern tradition with them. And they found out very soon that pumpkins, a fruit native to America, make perfect jack-o'-lanterns. And as the famous broadcaster Paul Harvey used to say, now you know the rest of the story. All right, folks, thanks for tuning in to Fresh from the Field Fridays with Dan the Produce Man. Be sure to tune in again next week when we come back. Until then, be sure to check out the Produce Industry Podcast with Patrick Kelly every Monday, as well as the Produce Industry Show on YouTube. And don't forget, you got to download that Produce Industry Podcast app. I would do that right now. I would pick up my phone while you're listening to this and download the Produce Industry Podcast app. Gotta have that one. And folks, also check out my YouTube channel called Dan the Produce Man, and all my social media stuff can be found on my website at dantheproduceman.com. Until next week, this is Dan the Produce Man reminding you that it's always best when you get it fresh.
You've been listening to Fresh from the Field Fridays with Dan, the Produce Man. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor to get fresh weekly episodes. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Podcast and at Dan, the Produce Man. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.